word for your life today.
Would you turn your Bibles to the book of Ezekiel? And I want to call your attention to chapter 3. Ezekiel chapter 3. And you're going to really need to peruse the text to really get all of the information, and I'll try, but time won't allow me to really deal with all of the verses I'd like to, but I just want to launch from verse 15. Verse 15, Rita, if you don't mind.
Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 15. It reads, "Then I came to them of the captivity at Tel Aviv that dwelt by the river of Chebar, and I sat where they sat, and remained there astonished among them 7 days."
Amen. Let the church say amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. For just a little while, I want to speak from the subject, what's really going on. What's really going on? Ezekiel, you will note God's hand upon Ezekiel. He has ministered to Ezekiel with a desire to minister through Ezekiel. He gives Ezekiel a true understanding of what he's about to deal with. He literally sets Ezekiel up to fail. He gives him a church that won't even listen to him. He gives him a people who are hard-hearted, stiff-necked, disobedient. They are repulsive. They are the kind of people who bring disgrace to the honor and the name of God. And he tells Ezekiel that they won't listen to me. And I know they're not going to listen to you. Somehow, Ezekiel must be thinking, well, why are you sending me there? He assigns him and commissions him to go to this remnant of people down by the river of Chebar. We say Chebar, but it is Chebar. And so, in the original language. And there, by the river that's a long way off, is what it means, over in Tel Aviv, there are some folk there who are now in captivity, and they have turned away from God and turned to idols. They have run rampant and have become next to reprobates. And yet God sends him to a place that no preacher wants to go to. Ezekiel is upset about the assignment. Now listen at this, because he would not have gone, but the word says God's hand was strong upon him. Look at what God does. He picks him up by the Spirit, and he brings him to the place where he is to minister to the people, and he drops him off there. The reason he does that is because he sees that the prophet is rebelling against his assignment. And yet God wants to let the people of God know, I want to give you another chance to get it right. Now, he tells the prophet this. if I had sent you to a people with a hard language and a strange tongue, they would have heard you. But I'm sending you to my people. I'm sending you to the people you are a part of. And yet they won't hear me. So Ezekiel is brought there and set down there. And there he does something unusual. He's called to preach to them. But instead of preaching, he remains silent. And so in his temporary rebellion, he sits down among them. But while he sits down and says nothing, he's observing. He's watching things. He's discovering things. He's seeing things. Not only that God has said to him, but that God has not said to him. He's among the people, which gives him a now interesting perspective from within the reality. Can I tell you, folk can't help you if they're not where you are. See, you got a lot of folk who want to give you help and give you counsel and give you aid from without, but all they're doing is throwing money and they're throwing counsel and they're throwing resources at the issue, but they really don't know the issue. So Ezekiel is in the midst of them, and as he's sitting there, he is amazed, astonished, stupefied at what he sees for 7 days. 7 days in silas is the national time of mourning. So he was literally saying that I'm in mourning and I'm not going to say anything for 7 days. Many would put on sackcloth and ashes, but he didn't even do that. He just sat down and shut his mouth up. But thank God he didn't close his eyes. God then tells him after 7 days, let me tell you something, Ezekiel. I have made you a watchman. The reason I let you observe is because you are a watchman. You're a sentinel. You're a spiritual, listen, night guard. And I want you to observe what's going on. But there are three things. I want to throw this out right quickly so that you'll understand. First, he's called a watchman so that he is able to recognize the revelation of what God has said to him concerning his people. He's a watchman so that he is able to see impending danger and then tell the people of God what's coming. Secondly, he's a witness. But as a witness, he's there to record what he sees and what they're doing, actually to have a record against them, so that there is a record in heaven and there is a record on earth. But thirdly, he's there to warn them. Because his warning is desirous of their repenting. You see, God has got this thing fixed. He sees where they are, but he's willing to give them another chance. One of the things that I see here that is not made plain is the various things that Ezekiel sees. Let me just give you a helpful, holy hint. It began with him. And not only did it begin with him, but it extended to the priests and then the people. You see, the priests and the prophets were called the watchmen. And they were instructed to give all the information of safety and of instruction to the people when impending danger would come. But Ezekiel didn't want to say nothing, and he discovered that the priests didn't say nothing. And the people ran rampant. The priests had idols in the temple because they were betwixt and between. They were on the fence. They were with God, and yet they were submitting and surrendering to the idol gods whom their captives had placed before them. They couldn't decide whether or not they were going to be faithful to God or faithful to their captives. And so because they were not faithful, they didn't preach a faithful message to the people. And so there are some things that the people were messed up because of the leadership, the priests. Can I give you just a few examples? Can I give you a helpful, holy hint as to what astonished Ezekiel? But what one of the things you're going to notice is that, one, Ezekiel noticed that the people messed up because they were messed up. Somebody don't really get that. They messed up because they were messed up. They were messed up because of their own decisions, their own choices, their own way, their own desires, their disobedience, their rebellion to God, their hard-heartedness, their stiff-neckedness. They were messed up because they chose not to obey God. But a further investigation, Ezekiel sees that there's another reason why the people are messed up. And it is because they are messed over. You see, the people of God were messed over by the priests because the priests were not faithful and committed to preach the word, to tell the people, but thus saith the Lord, to give them what the people needed to hear from God. And when the priests didn't lead them right, then the people didn't have a right way to go. They were already messed up in a strange land. They were already messed up in their spirits because of their sin and what God had permitted to happen. And yet in that messed up place, they were messed over by the priest and the leadership. Can I give you another reason? They were messed with. They were messed with in the way that they should not have been messed with. They were messed with in ungodly ways. They were messed with things that they should have been honored, and they should have been set aside as people of God who are seeking the right way of God and the way God desired them to be and who he desired them to be. But the people messed over them and messed with them as though they were people of another God rather than Jehovah God. They were messed up because they were messed around. They were messed around because, again, they did not know the way, and they needed the people who knew the way to show them the way. The Bible says, how can they hear without a preacher? And how can that preacher preach except he be sent? And so, my brothers and sisters, the problem of the people was because of the priests and the leaders leading them wrong. One more thing and I'm going to move. They were messed up because they were messed on. And I mean it just like it sounds. Imagine a bird flying over. And a bird drops some stuff on you. That's the kind of messed on they were. And because of that, Ezekiel, who came down with a burning spirit, he was going to tan them up. He was going to let them know, because he was mad that he had to come. So because he had to come, he came with fire and brimstone. And when he did decide to tell them, he was going to tell them and tell them and tell them with no compassion or anything. But after sitting there in the same position they were in and observing what they were going through, it wasn't so much the what they were doing, but the why. You see, a lot of folk who want to judge what you're doing don't even look deep enough to see why you're doing what you're doing. And he looked closely enough to discover where the problem emanated from. It wasn't from the people. It was from the priests and the leaders who would not lead the people of God right. Their unfaithfulness led to the people's unfaithfulness. My brothers and sisters, woe to the priests, the preachers, the pastors, the evangelists, the prophets, and all who speak on behalf of God, who do not tell the people of God what thus saith the Lord. Ezekiel had a sword, literal sword, but it was indicative of the sword of the word of God. And yet, God dealt with him, and he then realized where the problem stemmed from. And so, my brothers and sisters, he changed, listen, his method, but not his message. Have you heard the saying, you can tell anybody anything, it's a way to tell them? Well, now, he changed his method, because now he was speaking to them out of compassion, because he recognized that much of what they were suffering was because of those who were over them. And secondly, I want to tell you, he changed his measure, but not his means. He changed his measure of temperament because he recognized, you're not really the ones I really need to be preaching fire and brimstone to. It's the ones who's leading you. I need to get this word out to those who are teaching you, preaching you, are supposed to be, who are watering down the word and sweetening up the word and weakening up the word, trying to give itching ears what they want to hear, when God has given them a responsibility to tell it like it is. Let the chips fall where they may. But they allowed all other things to get in their way of the assignment that God had given to them. And God was going to destroy them All. And then I need you to see the last thing was, not only did he change his method, but not his message, his measure, but not his means, but he changed his mind, but not his mission. See, sometimes the preacher got to realize you got to get you right before you get right in front of, or try to get the people right in front of God. You got to get you right. Check yourself, change yourself, deal with yourself. Look in the mirror, see you first. Speak to you before you speak to them. And so he got it together to the point where God says, listen, let me tell you, there are some things as a watchman that you need to know. One, that the sword you have works both ways. In other words, he's telling Ezekiel, if you don't do what I told you to do, I'm going to do to you what I told you to tell them I was going to do to them. He starts off with the prophet. He starts off with the pastor. He starts off with the priest. He starts off with the preacher. He starts off with those who speak for him. You better get it right, because you will meet with double trouble if you don't get it straight. Now then, look at what he goes down and he deals with. He deals with the people who are unrighteous and evil and wicked. Look at what he tells them. He says, if you don't warn them about the impending danger that's coming upon them because of my wrath, because their sins stink to the high heavens, if you don't tell them to get right, church, and let's go home, then when they die in their sins, their blood will be on your hands. Now listen at this. They're going to pay for their sins, but you're going to be responsible for their blood because you did not warn them. Can I tell you, my brothers and my sisters, and especially those who are responsible for the word of God, you can't let who you preach to affect what you preach to them. He already told them they're not going to like the message. Don't look at their faces. Don't be concerned. Oh, they're going to roll their eyes. They're going to twist their nose up. They're going to look, if eyes could kill, yeah, you be dead. But listen, I made your head as an adamant stronger than a flint. In other words, if they try to buck against you, if they try to headbutt you, it'll bust their heads wide open, because what you've got, I gave it to you. Don't be ashamed. Don't be shy. Don't step back when I tell you to step forward and say what thus saith the Lord. You tell the wicked, you wicked. Don't sugarcoat it. You tell the low down, you're low down. Don't look for no politically correct words. They are what they are. Call a spade, and a blade, a blade. That's the problem right now. We sugarcoat things. If you are that, that is what you are. call it like you see it. God made man. God made woman. God made man for woman. God didn't make man for man, nor woman for woman. He didn't join them together. And when folk come up to you with that mess about it's an alternative lifestyle, you tell them, ain't no alternative. It's heaven or hell and nowhere in between. Is his way or no way?
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's L-O-B-D-E-L-L Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do three things. Pray for this ministry, partner with this ministry, and tell others about this ministry. Now, we pray the Lord's richest blessings upon you and invite you to listen each Monday through Friday at this same time for the Movement of Christ broadcast.
For my way, you're the...
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast. You can receive today's message by sending $5 for cassette, $8 for CD, and $15 for DVD to 911 Lobdell Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806, or call area code 225-774-8040, leaving your name, address, and order. May God richly bless you is our prayer.
Won't he make